The following live presentation by Rabbi David Aaron is brought to you by Israelite, inspiring a renaissance in Jewish living. To learn more about Israelite, please visit our website at www.israelite.org. Additional contact information is available at the end of this presentation. Thank you for learning with Israelite and enjoy the experience.
The topic of this talk is learning, living, and loving through laughter. The cosmic comedy of Kabbalah. Okay? What is laughter all about? Personally, I have to tell you, one of the things I enjoy the most is to make people laugh. Right? Love making people laugh. I had an interesting discussion with a producer of a major show who I was talking to about Getting On, a very famous show. And I told him I was on the Larry King show, and he said he actually saw me on the Larry King show, but he had a little bit of a problem. So what's the problem? He said, well, to tell you the truth, Rabbi, I have this problem with most rabbis who go on television. What's that? He said, well, when you're on Larry King, you are funny. I didn't think I was hysterical. I did crack, I think, one joke, but what do you mean? He says, but whenever I see these rabbis get on television, they seem to have a need to be funny. You don't see like Billy Graham being funny. You don't see like reverends being funny. They're reverent, right? They're funny, but rabbis seem to be funny, and there seems to be this kind of like, what's his name? The famous comedian. Jackie Mason Syndrome. You know, the guy started off as a rabbi, and more people kept coming, and more people kept coming, and then he started charging at the door, and then he figured, what the heck, go on Broadway and become a comedian. In other words, there's an interesting idea, A, with rabbis being funny, and B, with Jews being funny in terms of the world of comedy. Okay, what is it about Jews and comedy? What is it about rabbis and comedy? But I'll add to that, that there was a great rabbi in the Talmud who would start with a joke. Right? And I like to try, if I can, but it's sometimes the hardest part of preparing for my talk, is the introductory joke. Right? Well, jokes are so important. The Zohar teaches us that to access the highest wisdom, you need humor. And therefore I thought it was an interesting critique from this particular producer, because he really didn't want me on the show because he was afraid I was fired. I said, believe me, get me on the show. I promise you I won't crack one joke. I won't be funny. I'll be really solemn and very reverent and boring. I promise you, you know? But what is it about humor? The Talmud teaches us that you can get to know a person through kiso, koso, vikaso, right? Which is his pocket, the way he handles money. Koso, his cup, the way he handles his food, his diet. Kaso is the way he handles his anger. I keep saying he, but it's equally true about she. But another opinion says, and also through their laughter. You want to get to know a person, find out about their laughter. Now everyone's got a different laughter when you think of it. You know, some people got, you know, something like, when you think about how crazy laughter is, but realize we're the only creatures in the world that laugh. No other creature laughs. There are laughing hyenas, but they're not laughing at anybody's jokes, right? They're making a sound that we've decided is laughter. Who knows? The guy might be depressed. I don't know why, what's going on. Maybe someone's stepping on his tail. I don't know why he's making that noise. Only we laugh at jokes. And it's important to understand that the spiritual journey must have humor. And even if I don't get on this national show, I won't give up humor. Because before you start a class, if you can, you should start off with a joke. So I want to understand, well, what is humor? What makes us laugh? Why do we laugh? And why is it the humor is essential to climb the higher realms through the ladder to reach the highest wisdom? What is laughter? Let's think about what makes something funny. I would like to ask someone from the audience to offer us a joke. Okay? Let's hear it, please, but you gotta get up.
Okay. A guy walked into a bar. Ouch.
Yes, did you get that? How many people got that? Okay. Now, the problem is you thought about it. The ones who didn't get it is because you were thinking, right? And then you finally thought about it. But what was funny about that? Okay, a guy walks into a bar, says, ouch. What was funny about that? Why did we laugh? It's a play on words, but it's more than a play on words. Ah, something was unexpected. What was unexpected? Why was the ouch? What's the punchline? What is the psychology of the punchline?
When you walk into a bar,
you think they're walking in.
Right. You initially were confused. You were misled. You immediately assumed that a guy walked into a bar. Your understanding of a bar, because you've heard this term, means they walked into a saloon of some sort, a place that offers liquor. He then says, ouch. And then you realize you were wrong. And you laugh at that. Why did you laugh at that? Why did you laugh at realizing you were wrong? Right? Because what happened was a complete paradigm shift. You perceived and you thought that she was talking about a bar. And then that last line, which was a punchline, made you realize that it was a completely different picture. Your narrow perception of what she said was not correct. You took that seriously. And then that line realized and helped you realize that your perspective that you took so seriously was wrong. She put it into a different context. And then you start to laugh. I want another joke. Right. It's not funny once you analyze it, but go ahead. Okay, so there's this guy. And he's in a car. Right? He's in a car. And next to him is a penguin. So a policeman sees this man. He's never seen a guy driving with a penguin. He's got a convertible and a penguin next to him. So he pulls him all to the side. He says, excuse me, what are you doing with that penguin? Right? He said, what do you mean, what are we doing with the penguin? He said, take him to the zoo. Said, okay. Right? Next day, he's driving down the street. Right? Sees the guy with the penguin. Penguin's got sunglasses. Guy pulls him across. He says, did I see you yesterday with this penguin? Did I tell you to take him to the zoo? He said, I took him to the zoo. Now we're going to the beach. Right? Okay. What's funny about a joke? What's funny about a joke is precisely that we're being misled. We are being taken to an understanding, and we're assuming that this understanding is correct. The surprise is when we get one word that changes the whole picture, and we laugh at the surprise. Yitzchak, the son of Abraham and Sarah, they called him laughter because he was such a surprise. It made no sense. It was shocking. How is it possible? Who are the first two people in the Torah that laugh? Abraham and Sarah. In fact, I think it's possibly the only place that laughter is described in the Bible. Because Abram and Sarah couldn't have children. And these angels come, they didn't know that they were angels. And the angels come and tell Sarah and Abraham that they're going to have a son. It says that Sarah laughed. It says that Abraham laughed. But Sarah is criticized for her laughter. And Abraham is praised for his laughter. Why? So Rashi, the great commentator, explains there's two kinds of laughter. There's the laughter of cynicism, that's not a good laughter. Right? And then there's the laughter of faith. When Sarah heard this, she became cynical. She went, it was a giving up kind of laughter. It was cynical. It was knocking down. It was pain. But when Abraham heard the laugh, when he heard this, he started to laugh. Because here all along I thought I was an old man and my wife is an old woman and we can never have children. And I was taking this so seriously as if this is going to be my fate. You come in and tell me I can't. He starts laughing for joy. It's the laughter of faith. What's the difference between the laughter of cynicism and the laughter of faith? The laughter of cynicism is you take your perspective too seriously. And when someone gives you a different perspective, you can't let go. And so you laugh cynically. Yeah, sure. Yeah, sure. That's a bad laughter. But when Avram got a different perspective, it was the laughter of faith. What is the laughter of faith? And why is this so critical in our spiritual journey? Because one of the great obstacles to growing is taking yourself too seriously. And I have to tell you a story. When I was pretty young, my mother told me we're going to a doctor. I didn't know why. I didn't think there was anything wrong with me. We're going to a doctor. Okay. We're waiting in the doctor's office. I don't know why. I'm a little kid. I'm going to see this doctor. And was there something wrong with me? Finally, my mother, I said to my mother, what's wrong? I don't have a fever. And I'm what's wrong, Mom? She says, this doctor, he has developed a way of helping people grow. So you won't be shocked. Okay? So I said, okay. So I remember walking in, sitting there. I see the doctor looking me up and down, you know, and just starts touching me and doing all these things, and takes my mother aside. And I saw him go like this. Now the whole time I'm scared because I thought what he was going to do is put me on the rack. You ever see those things like, they make me grow. But I see this man looking at me, and he takes my mother aside, and I see him go like this. That's when I knew that short is going to be my destiny, right? What does it mean to spiritually grow, right? When you take yourself too seriously, and you take your situation too seriously, and you think the way you understand it is the only way you understand it because you take it too seriously, you know? Why is it that people think it's funny if I make a joke about my being short, which isn't true, I'm not short, but you know, I make a joke about it anyways, right? Because people like to see a rabbi not take himself too seriously. Because Judaism is so serious. God is so serious, right? And it ties into what I talked about last night. If you really want to know who it is that we're talking about, don't take the noise, G-O-D, seriously. It's just a noise that we make, that we have decided to attribute to the one before all words. This is the power of comedy. This is the power of being able to laugh. People who can't laugh, they can't get the punchline because they're so stuck in the way they heard it, right? It's like I saw Seinfeld on the airplane. And so he comes in, you might have seen this episode, they're all, I guess, reruns at this point. And so he comes in, he sits down, he's tired, he takes his remote control, and he goes like this. He's looking for his television, because it's missing, right? Finds out that, you know, he's broken in, everything was taken, his answering phone. So he's talking to a policeman, the policeman comes in, and he says, you know, what's missing? He says to, I don't know who she is, his girlfriend, whatever, I'm not a mumcha, I'm not an expert at this, right? So he's on the television, she said, well, also, I got also the answering phone. My answering phone? Right? My answering phone. So he turns to the policeman, he says, this guy's going to start answering my phone? He's going to start returning my messages? Right? And the policeman looks at him, right, with a straight face. He says, I beg your pardon, I don't understand. He says, it was a joke, right? It was a joke. What is it when you tell over a joke and people don't laugh? Now sometimes it's just not a funny joke. But sometimes it's because people can't laugh because they just don't have the flexibility to transition in a completely new way of seeing things. Because they're so sure that the way they understand things is the only way and the right way to understand it. Right? And so, one of the great masters of laughter is the great Rabbi Akiva. There's a story in the Talmud how Rabbi Akiva and three other of his colleagues, great rabbis, decided to take a mystical journey to a place called Paradise, Pardes. Just before they took this mystical journey, which was a meditative journey into altered states of consciousness, whereby they would, through transitioning and through changing paradigms, be able to see completely new worlds. They were sitting right beside us. They were going to paradise, and we're sitting here. Rabbi Akiva turns to his three traveling partners and says, when we get to the pure marble, don't say water, water. Don't say water, water. Okay. Well, what happened in this story? They transcended into higher worlds. The Kabbalah says they went to the world of creation. There are four worlds, the world of action, the world of formation, the world of creation, the world of emanation. You can't get into the world of emanation. The highest you could get to is the world of creation. They went into the world of creation, and this is not something I'm going to describe right now, but one rabbi went insane. Another rabbi went crazy. Oh no, here's the same one that went insane. Another rabbi became a heretic. A heretic. You know, a disbeliever. Okay. You thought he was a hairy tick. No. Okay. No. Another one became a heretic. And another one died. Didn't come back to this world. Only Rabbi Akiva nichnas b'shalom v'yetzu b'shalom. He went in peace and went out of peace. What was the secret of Rabbi Akiva? What is the secret of Rabbi Akiva? There's a famous story that Rabbi Nachman of Breslov tells over, called The King and His Humble Servant. Fascinating story. Rav Nachman of Breslov was one of the great Hasidic masters, and he would tell over deep secrets with these apparent fairy tale kind of stories. Okay? Well, one of the stories is about a king who sends his advisor, his humble servant, to get a picture of another king. A portrait of a king. No one has. Now, this king has famous portraits of all the other kings, but this he doesn't have. So he wants this guy, but he has to go very far to a world, to a land full of lies. And Rabbi Nachman tells over the details of how this humble servant goes looking to get to the king. He gets to this land, he realizes it's a land of deception, it's a land of lies. He knows that this king that he has to get a portrait of is hiding behind some curtain. Very fascinating. But for our sake right now, Rabbi Nachman tells us that the humble servant realized that in order to get to the king, he must understand the unique humor of this country. Humor is the key to get to the king. I'm not going to go further into the story. It's a fascinating story. Humor is the key to living, learning, and loving. You need to know how to laugh. Rabbi Akiva knew how to laugh. Rabbi Akiva knew how to go through these worlds. The Talmud says a story about how Rabbi Akiva and his colleagues went to see the Beis HaMikdash, the temple. And what did they see? The temple was destroyed. What did they see? They saw a fox emerge from the place where the Holy of Holy was. All the rabbis started to cry. This was devastating. This was the most tragic picture of our great, great holy temple, so desolate that a fox is coming out of the Holy of Holies. Rabbi Akiva started to laugh. Laughing! His colleagues look at him in shock. How can you laugh? The master of laughter. Because Rabbi Akiva said, don't you understand? Just as this prophecy came true, of the desolation and destruction of our temple, then this is a sign that the other prophecies will come true of the rebuilding and the coming of Mashiach. So he started to laugh. What was the power of Rabbi Akiva? He didn't take his perspective too seriously. You know, you could look at this and think this is the only scene in the entire story of life. It's not. It's just one of the scenes. Just one of the scenes. So there's a story in the Talmud how Rabbi Baruch is walking in the shuk, in the marketplace, and he meets Elijah the prophet. Elijah appears mysteriously in different places. And Rabbi Baruch turns to Elijah and says, tell me, who here is a son of, so to speak, destined for the world to come? So Elijah points to these two badranim, these comedians. These jokers. They were these two guys in the market that were very funny. And they just go and just get people laughing. What would they do? If they saw two people arguing over some tomato, you know, price of tomato or something, they'd come and start cracking up jokes, making fun of what they're doing to get them to kind of see what this is, you know, and get them laughing. These two comedians in this entire marketplace. He doesn't point to sages. He doesn't point to great Torah scholars. He points to these comedians. They are the master. They are destined for sure to the world to come. Why? Because if you're having a fight with somebody, then try and get perspective on this and laugh. Isn't this so funny that we're arguing with something so stupid when you see it in the greater picture of what it's really all about? You gotta laugh. Laughter takes you outside of yourself to see the situation in a bigger picture, in a greater light. That's the world to come. What is the world to come? The world to come is a level of consciousness where we will be able to see all of history with one glance. And we're going to see all these dark moments that look so dark in that moment because that was all we could see. The world to come is the great punchline of this cosmic comedy. Because once we get that punchline, Az Yamal Yischok Pinu, that's what we say, and then our mouths will fill with laughter. One of the symbols of the coming of the Messiah is our mouths will fill with laughter. Something's going to be funny. What is Mashiach, a comedian? But what Mashiach, what Messiah will bring is a perspective on it all, whereby we realize we were so misled. We thought it was dark. We thought it was a bar. We thought it was... Right? And we realize, oh my gosh, we got it all wrong. And the surprise will inspire us, and we will laugh hysterically. And it says on that day, God will be laughing. On that final day, the Gemara says that God will be laughing. When we will hear God's laughter, we will realize that we've been part of a process, and that in order to grow and to keep growing and make sure we don't get stuck in our moment by thinking it's the only, you know, a little people way of seeing things, our confused, determined, fixated ways of understanding, the punchline gives it all a new context and we crack up laughing. This is the laughter of faith. When Sarah heard that she'd have children, a child, she laughed cynically. She couldn't move out of her perspective. She couldn't move out of her absolute surety that this can't happen. And it's not going to happen. And so just to deal with the pain, she just... But Avram had the ability that when he heard that, he was so flexible. He had such faith in God. He had such faith in that this way he sees and understands things is not the only way to see and understand things. So you could move through it. Now imagine you see someone trying to convince someone of something, and you know that they're really pulling their leg, right? That's a comedy, right? I was on the plane, and they had kind of like a candid camera, kind of, but, you know, like voice on the plane. It was Israeli, right? So one of the skits was, it was like if you remember Candid Camera, they do these strange things and people would like, you know, and we'd crack up laughing, you know, this person doesn't understand, like all of a sudden they're sitting there at a restaurant and there are beautiful flowers around them and one of the flowers starts squirting water on them and when they're looking around, where's this water coming from? So in this particular skit, it's a car rental and it's over the phone and you give, you know, details over the phone. It's really a real company, right? And someone calls up, and it's clearly the voice of a little boy, right? So he can't be more than five, you know, maybe 7 years old. So he says, hello, I want to rent a car. And the person is taking this seriously. He says, yes, and what's your name? My name is Shlaimi, right? Okay, Shlaimi, okay. And, how old are you? I'm 7 years old. 7 years old, I can't rent you a car. And he starts trying to convince her that of course she can rent him a car and that his father always lets him drive the car and he's got no problems. He'll give her the credit card number of his big brother. And it, you know, when you listen, you're laughing up, she's like taking this very seriously and she's saying, no, I can't do this. So if you were to hear someone is really pulling someone's leg, right, you would think that's funny, right? So you know, in our tradition, one of the descriptions of the Yetzirah, the evil inclination, is that he's really a joker. And you're taking him too seriously. Him, it, she, whatever, right? Because you think that this force is trying to really convince you not to dedicate yourself to higher consciousness, not to commit yourself to higher values. But the truth is, that's not at all what he wants, right? The Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, is trying to create a challenge in your life so that you can come to an even greater consciousness of overcoming this and doing it. So really, one of the descriptions of the Yetzer Hara is that really he's a comedian. You're taking this too seriously. You think that he really wants you to do this rotten thing. He doesn't really want you to do this rotten thing. He's pulling your leg so that you will say no. He wants you to say no. Okay? So the Gemara says, why does a person sin? Ein adam chote ele nichnas baruch shtut. A person does not make a wrongdoing unless a spirit of foolishness enters into them. That's what they did. There's a spirit of foolishness outside them, trying to like play this joke on them. Come on, do this. But really what he wants you to do is say no and do the other. But if you take it too seriously and you allow it to nichnas, you allow it to go inside yourself, rather than keeping it outside and go laugh at it, right? Laugh at it or play a joke on it, okay? You took it too seriously. This is one of the great problems. The rabbi said, before you teach a class, start with a joke. So you don't take this class too seriously. Right? Because these are words. They're the best we can do. So you don't take the Yetzer Hara too seriously. Because it's really trying to get you to actually acknowledge God by trying to pull you away from God. But he's really just pulling your leg. Really just pulling your leg. Comedy is really, in a certain way, the theme of history. Because the Kabbalah says that God is hiding from us so that we will find him. That's funny, right? God is not hiding from us so that we don't find God. God is hiding from us because he really wants us to find him. And we have to understand that that's what this is all about. Right? And not take it too seriously, but kind of be able to roll with the punches. I know that's very difficult to say after you hear such tragic news like we heard today. But Rabbi Akiva was still the master of laughter. You can't forget to laugh. And that's what's so incredibly amazing about Jews. They have so much reason to cry. And yet we have put out some of the greatest comedians. Why? Because this is the power of transcendence. Because if you cry, it means you think this is the only scene, the final scene, and the only way to see the scene. And you don't have the patience and the faith to know there will be a punchline. And you'll look back at it all. And you'll get a bigger picture. You know, a couple weeks ago, you know, in the old city of Jerusalem, there's something called Avot Ubanim, whereby fathers get together and learn with their children Torah. And they give out prizes. They do like a lottery. Okay, they do a lottery. So, you know, I got this phobia that when it comes to lotteries, I never win. Right? When it comes to like games and carnivals, I never win. So I never even try. Right? I grew up with this feeling that this kind of stuff, I'm a loser with this kind of stuff. Don't even want to try. Okay? So, and I projected this on my children, although I don't tell them this, that, hey, you're a loser, you're never going to win, right? My wife, she's a winner, obviously, not me. But besides that, I'm a winner too, because I got her. But lottery, I didn't get her through lottery. She got me through lottery. Anyway, so what happens? So, we're sitting there, and they're at the end of the hour of studying with your children, they start doing this lottery, and all the kids get these numbers, and they start doing this lottery, okay? Hey, no, my kids are not going to win because we're losers. You know, we're losers in lotteries, right? So I say to my son, I say, so where's your ticket? He says, I don't know. What do you know? Right? Where's your ticket? He says, I don't know. Don't you have the ticket? I said, I don't have the ticket. Where's the ticket? So I start searching my pockets. I start searching his pocket. I said, I am such a loser that we're going to win. We're going to win and I'm not going to have the ticket. Could you imagine? That's exactly what happened. They called our number, and I couldn't find the ticket. I said, I can't believe it. Even when I win, I'm a loser. Right? I was so upset with this whole thing. Right? I went home to my wife. I was so upset with this whole thing. I went home to my wife. And I said, I got to talk to you. I went into the bedroom, and I started telling her the story. And as I started telling her the story, and kind of like looking at the story, I burst into hysterical laughter. I couldn't stop laughing for about 15 minutes. And all the kids came in the room like, what's wrong with Abba? I was hysterical. Because what happened was, is as I talked about it, I removed myself and I saw the picture. And then it was really funny. It's kind of like when you grew up and you watched, I mean, this is dating myself, I Love Lucy. So when you watch I Love Lucy and you see her being pinned to a wall by this humongous loaf of bread that's, you know, going out of, you know, well, when I was a kid, I felt so sorry for her. You know, I felt so sorry. I said, oh, you can fuck me, you know, or she's painting a wall and all the paint falls on her. And, you know, and all these horrible things where she goes out and she gets burnt and she was really trying to get tan. She was kind of going to show, you know, and all this, they all seem like tragedy. So I used to get inside Lucy and say, this isn't funny. She's crying, and everyone, you hear the, you know, you hear the laughter in the TV, like, oh, you know, those mechanical laughters, right? You know, and I thought, oh, poor Lucy. Oh, poor, but you say, what was funny about that? For her, it wasn't funny. But for us, it was. Because we saw it in the bigger picture. And in the bigger picture, this is nothing. This is small. It's even funny when you think about it. And so the next time you have a fight with someone you love, try and get out of it. Try and look at it from a bigger picture and realize, isn't this funny? Could you imagine we're arguing something so stupid as this? The next time your Yetzirah wants to convince you to do something, laugh! He's just joking. He doesn't really want you to do it. He wants you to say no. He doesn't want you to say yes. Right? And the next time you're on a journey to paradise and you get to the world of creation, well, be careful. Don't die. And please don't go insane. Don't even become a heretic. Learn the secret of Rabbi Akiva. Laugh. Just laugh a little bit. Because laughter brings us to transcendence. And that's where the pure wisdom is. There's a wisdom that you can know through analyzing. And there's a wisdom that you can only get when you look at your perspective and you realize that in the bigger picture, that's not the way it is. And so we laugh ourselves, and through learning and living and loving, laughter is the key to the highest wisdom. Let's hear some questions. Yeah.
Is there ever, on the highest level, is there ever an appropriate time not to laugh or cry?
Of course. Because we're not always on that level. We can't be Rebbe Akiva all the time.
Say you are Rebbe Akiva, or Rebbe Akiva himself. Was there ever an appropriate time for him to be sad?
On his level, probably not. Because that's where he was at. You see, one of the interesting things about Judaism is you also have to know where you're at. If you were to be there, and you're not on the level of Rebbe Akiva, but you know that you heard this class by Rabbi Aaron that you're supposed to laugh. So you see this fox coming out there and you go, ah, ha, ha, ha. That, you're a fake. You didn't get the punchline. You're not ready to hear the punchline. Rabbi Akiva, for him, he was to laugh, and for his other comrades standing, they were supposed to cry. But what is it? Why was he able to laugh? Because he really was on this level where he saw the bigger picture all the time. They weren't on that level. Therefore, it would be inappropriate to pretend that they were laughing at something that they really don't know the punchline yet. Okay? So what's beautiful about Judaism is it presents us the ideals, but it also presents us the real. And you have to know, are you authentic in this moment? Is your laughter authentic? Okay? And that's why it says you can know someone from their laughter, because you know what? You really get to know people through their laughter. You get to know people from what they laugh at and how they laugh. And whether the laugh is genuine, or whether the laugh is some cover-up, you know, because they're not so easygoing. So that's why they put on this, like, they're not really able to roll with it. You got to be able to roll with it. One of the sad things today is that personally, I don't find a lot of comedies today funny. People are so starving to laugh that they go to these, you know, they go to these, whatever, these bars or these comedy clubs. And this guy gets up. And my gosh, we are going to laugh. We paid $15 to get in here. We're on television. And this guy says these things and you're like, whoa, I missed it. You know what I mean? Like, what was funny about that? I don't get it. You know, so we're in a world that's starving for laughter because we really, a lot of us have become so stuck in our little world, in our little way of seeing things, in our moment, and we just don't see a bigger picture. The punchline gives you the bigger picture, and then you realize how funny this is. And you're really laughing at yourself. Because you realize, I thought you meant a bar, and there you only meant a bar. And I thought that. You're laughing at yourself. You can't laugh at yourself. You take yourself too serious. You think you're the be-all and the end-all. But you can't fake it either. So there are times where Rabbi Akiva knows how to laugh, but his colleagues were supposed to cry, because that's where they're at. They're not ready to hear the punchline. Right? They're not on that level yet. Okay? Yeah?
How do you define the difference between joy and laughter?
Joy and laughter? Well, you're not always, you know, like joy doesn't necessarily produce laughter. Sometimes you laugh with joy. But sometimes you sing with joy. Sometimes you dance with joy. Okay? I would say that you would laugh with joy when what was joyous was surprising to you. Right? Was surprising to you. I recently went online and I saw a review about the new book from Publishers Weekly. And I read it and I laughed with joy. Because I wasn't expecting to get that kind of a review. I wasn't expecting to get any review. And so I was really surprised and I laughed with joy. Right? Then I read it carefully and I saw that he was actually criticizing me also. Then I didn't laugh so much. Right? So I sent him a virus. But anyways. So you laugh with joy because something is surprising to you. You were expecting this and you got that. Right? When my wife gave birth, I didn't laugh with joy. You know, I didn't laugh with joy. I was really joyful. And I was jumping with joy. Right? But I wasn't laughing with joy because it wasn't a surprise. We had expected this for 9 months. Right? So there wasn't an element of surprise. It was actually an element of relief. Right? Right. So that was a dancing, a jumping with joy. So it depends, but joy isn't always, joy isn't always, you know, the laughing joy, okay? But joy isn't happiness either. Happiness is a more consistent state of mind that one can choose to enter into. It's hard work to enter into. And joy seems to be somewhat more of these peak moments. Right? But how you respond to those peak moments, I think, has to do with whether it's relief or whether it's surprise, you know. Yeah.
But how do you do that with something like tragedy or suffering? Yeah, you don't know what the outcome is going to be in the whole big picture, but...
Right. You have to understand. The only way you're going to laugh when Mashiach comes is if you take your moment seriously, but not too seriously that you can't get the punchline. You get it? In other words, if you don't cry, right? I mean, what makes the joke funny is I'm taking you seriously that this guy is supposed to take the penguin to the zoo and put him in a cage. And I took that seriously. That's what I was sure that meant. That's what it meant. And then he comes back and he says, well, I took him to the zoo, now we're going out to the beach surfing. Right? But if you didn't take it seriously in the first place, you wouldn't laugh. There would be no punchline. You got it? So you have to cry now so that you'll be laughing your guts out. But believe me, Rabbi Akiva had a share of crying already. You know what I mean? It's like, for him, the punchline had already come. Okay? But you can't get to the punchline. You can't be, I'm not going to take any of this seriously. You have to take it seriously, but not too seriously, that you can't allow the punchline to give you a paradigm shift where you see a new picture. You just can't see the new picture. You should laugh. This is funny now. Now is the time to laugh. Punchline, you know, like the thing in the, you know, pink, you know, humor, laugh. Right? That's when you're supposed to laugh. Then we're going to laugh. But we won't, you know, that's why they say that only those people who mourned over the temple of its destruction will rejoice in its building. You see, we don't know sweetness without first tasting sour. And did you ever have this experience where you need something sweet? So you get something sweet. Now I need potato chips. So you get potato chips. Now I need a Coke. Right? Because the sour is incomplete until you have something sweet, which is incomplete until you have something sour. Because that's the way we are able to be conscious through these contrasts. Right? So you've got to mourn. Rabbi Akiva did his mourning. okay? But you've got to get into the moment, but be able to get out of the moment, which I talked about yesterday, okay? But you have to be in it and take it seriously, but not take it too seriously that you can't pull yourself out of it and laugh at it. Look at yourself. Look at yourself. Look at us arguing. Isn't this ridiculous? Isn't this funny when laughing or arguing something so stupid? You know what I mean? Imagine, I know somebody who were engaged, they were planning their wedding, and the whole thing broke down over the color schemes of the wedding in terms of the flowers and how the flowers would match the gowns. Now, come on, this is so funny. We're actually arguing over flowers and gowns. We should be able to laugh. Someone should crack a joke and get us out of this. Get us out of this. Those two guys in the marketplace, they would get people out of their arguments. They'd crack a joke. They'd get you to look at this and see how funny this is that we're arguing over something so stupid, so petty. When you see the bigger picture of life and the longer history. So the tragedy, you have to go in the tragedy, but not get stuck in the tragedy, so that when the punchline comes, you can't move out of it. Right? And that's why, check if these people know how to laugh. Because if they don't know how to laugh, they won't be able to move out of their experience. They won't be able to move out of their perspectives. Right? They're just too serious. They're just too serious. And I have to warn you that sometimes when people go through these spiritual journeys and want to do tshuva, they want to come back to Judaism, they all of a sudden become so serious. You know? They become so serious. They don't know how to laugh anymore. That wasn't what God wanted from us. Yes, we have to take things seriously, but not take it too seriously, right? That now you're like, you know, you gotta laugh a little bit. Let's hear one more question.
It seems with your teaching style, you have a spontaneous humor, and is that different from like telling a joke per se versus spontaneous humor? I mean,
well, what is one of the qualities of humor? It's timing, right? Some people can tell a joke and it falls on the floor. You know? Some people, I know you, of course everybody knows this one joke, right? These guys are in prison, and this new guy's thrown into prison, and one guy turns to the group and he says, three. They all start laughing. Doesn't understand it. Another one looks and he said, ten! And they all start laughing. This guy's going crazy. Another white guy says, 21! And they're all laughing. So the guy turns to me and says, what are you guys laughing at? He said, well, we've been in this prison for 10 years now. And we've told these jokes over so many times that we basically gave them numbers. Right? And now instead of like wasting the time telling over the joke, we just say the number. He says, oh. So they're sitting there. He turns to the group, suddenly goes, five! People look. He says, 13! People don't laugh. He says, what's going on? I said, well, some people just don't know how to tell a joke. You know? So what is the timing in the joke? What is the timing in the joke? The timing is just when you were getting right there. That's when he pulls you out. He pulls you out. Okay? So the spontaneity, or if a person tells a joke, it doesn't matter. There's a certain timing where you know exactly when you've taken the person deep enough. Right? But not so deep that when you try to pull them out, they didn't get it because they were too deep inside. Right? So the timing, it's got to go, they say, you know, in comedy, you got to get it over the plate fast. You know, otherwise, the person gets too stuck in there. They don't get there. They don't get there. Anyways, tonight is comedy night. So stay tuned for Olam Haba, the world to come.
This presentation by Rabbi David Aaron has been brought to you by Israelite, inspiring a renaissance in Jewish living. To access additional presentations from our online media library, order our best-selling books, or learn more about Israelite programming, including seminars, web-based learning, teleconferences, spiritual retreats, Shabbaton experiences, Israel missions, and leadership training, please visit us at www.israelite.org. That's www.israelight.org. You can also call us in New York at 212-947-4990. or in Jerusalem at country code 972-2-627-4890. We hope you enjoyed this presentation, and we look forward to learning with you at Israelite.